You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Kingdoms Queens podcast. Your Kansas City Chiefs are officially going back to the Super Bowl for the third time in a row. The first team ever to go back for a third time after winning the previous two. This team is on a run of historical proportions that I just could never have dreamed like 10 years ago, but so incredibly excited for this team, for this group of guys. They have worked so hard to get here for this moment. It's been quite a season, but we made it. And our Chiefs are like fully en route to make a three-peat happen, which has never happened in NFL history, in case any of you haven't heard. But we are so excited to be here with you guys tonight and dive into everything with the Chiefs and with their exciting win over the Bills, other things happening around the NFL. There's a lot going on, and we can't wait to get into it with you guys. So I am your host, Lexi.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I am Jody. So, yes, we are going back to the Super Bowl. And I get that, like,
jealousy turning saints into the sea. Na, 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 lullabies choking on your album.
Sorry. Oh my God, Lexi. Chill. I'm gonna sing it at the top of my lungs.
DG got me going there.
Lord, God bless. Sing it at the top of my lungs on Sunday, walking out of Arrowhead. It was quite the scene. 3 minutes left in the game. Bills get the ball back. They don't even get to the 50. Defense gets off the field. Offense gets the ball back. We're like, all right, Specs. I mean, we're like, we're all right, Andy. We just need 2 first downs. We just need 2
all you need.
First downs. It's down to the 2-minute warning. Fast forward. Samaje Perine being the clutch running back that he is. Literally locked in the win for the Chiefs. So, first of all, please let's not act like I was not singing Sunday walking out of Arrowhead. But it was I just kind of want to talk about the tone of the stadium.
Please do, because Jody was there. I unfortunately didn't get to be there, but Jody, please tell us.
Was insane. So lots of Bills fans, for one. Just so y'all know, season ticket holder, go to every single game, tailgate every single freaking game, okay? Been doing this for years, not just this year. We always tailgate in the same exact spot, every single game. And I don't know what Bills Mafia decided to do this week, but they all decided that they were tailgating in G this week. So not only did the gates
in Arrowhead G. And Lot G?
Lot G. All of G. The gates were supposed to open at 1 p.m. We got there at 12, 35, 40, and the parking lot was filled up already. Which tells you that Arrowhead opened the gates way early for the game this week, which is kind of expected, but like, damn, y'all.
Yeah.
So there was, it was blocked off. Like, if you've ever been to Arrowhead, you know that if it's blocked off, you can't get through. As soon as we got through the gate after scanning our ticket, we were sitting in traffic, and that never happens. Like, the gate was like 10 steps behind us to get it. I was like, okay, it's packed here.
Oh,
yeah. So, yeah, that was a while. So basically, long story short, it's like four cars of us. And we're like, yeah, we're driving through the crowd anyway. Move. So we're navigating through all these Bills fans trying to get to our spot because we don't give a damn. This is our stadium. They're like throwing Josh Allen things at our car. They're like hitting our car. They're like,
no, you're rolling. Shut your mouth. No, you're rolling. Shut your mouth.
Interesting. Okay. So we set up the tailgate in the middle of the Bills.
Good. As you should.
They were every freaking where. We had the music going. They were trying to offer us wings for our ribs. We were like, no, we don't want any of your buffalo wings. We're going to eat our barbecue ribs. Fast forward to the end of the game. Whole entire game, Bills fans, obnoxious. Whole game. There was a guy in my section with no teeth that was yelling the whole entire game.
MVP.
Nobody's seen a quarterback like him. He's the MVP. Let's go, defense. Get their offense off the field. They're not that good. Yo, my whole section, when I say they were about to turn up on this man, and then when Patrick Mahomes did something great, of course, the whole section, MVP, MVP, because it's one belligerent. No two-timing Bills fan wanted to be loud and ridiculous. So Samaje Perine locks us in. Bills fan disappears. Nobody can find him. Nobody. Where'd he go? Where'd he go? No, come back. Where'd he go? He ran the hell off. The fireworks are loud. They're going. No one left the stadium. Everybody's like running towards like the front. Fireworks going off, confetti flying everywhere, everybody running on the field. Nico Remigio ran towards our end zone.
Oh yeah.
It's kind of shocked by that, but he stood by himself and he was just like taking in the moment.
Aww,
and I was just like, oh yeah. So that was really kind of cool to see because nobody expected him to be here, but everybody's leaving Arrowhead. We couldn't get out the parking lot for almost 2 hours because no one left. People reopened their tailgates. Like, they were drinking. They were shooting fireworks. Somebody had their grill. There was a pile of broken tables from Bills fans. It was hilarious. I was like, I think it is. So the vibes were very, very high. I don't think I got home till almost 1 a.m. Sunday night. Fireworks were going off even after we left the ceremony and got back to our car and was taking clothes off in the car because we had 1,000 layers on. Because
did you see the video of like over, it was like a, I don't know if it was like a drone or whatever that captured it, but it was like all over the city and it was just fireworks all over the entire
city. I did see it because they were showing like the downtown view. It was a great moment.
It was like the 4th of July in our city. Like,
and I'm so mad because I wasn't paying attention to my phone because I, at that point, was down to like 9% battery. Like, when we won the game, I was like, I have no battery. And I want to get a little bit of content. And I missed my chance to get on the phone.
Oh. Dang it.
I missed the where you at text.
Man.
All right. We'll be back next year. So I'll do it again then. But
I live out in like Overland Park, and even out there, it's like 30 minutes from the stadium. Yeah. I mean, fireworks were everywhere. It was crazy. So
one of my coworkers was like, I live in Lee Summit, and I'm pretty sure I heard like a cannon.
Oh god.
He said they shot like a cannon every time we scored. And then when we got the 2-point conversion, they did it twice.
Okay.
I was like, Gotta love Kansas City. You gotta love Chiefs fans.
Listen, our white Randy Moss wheeled in the 2-point conversion.
She was like, I was excited and nervous. I was like, yeah, I feel that.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. I get that. What is that going on? Anyway, before we kind of get into what's happening around the league, do you want to go ahead and hit our first brand sponsor?
Yes, Pink Lips. We love them. I love to wear them on our show. So tonight I have on Lady Boss, which is the matte lipstick. And then I have on, to top it off, Superstar, a little lip gloss on top of it, which we love. But honestly, I love their products. They're just awesome. They don't only have lip stuff, but they do. I mean, they have eyeshadow palettes. Finishing powder, eyeshadow palettes. They have contour sticks. They have vitamin C, like chapstick kind of thing. It's like literally skincare, makeup sponges, like anything you need.
Literally.
Men, women. There's stuff for everyone. So check out Pink Lips. They are local to Kansas City, women-owned business, which we love and support. And with our promo code KQ15, you can get 15% off of their products. So we just encourage you to support local, because why would you not? And it's women-owned, so that's
extra. And it's almost Valentine's Day. You need a cute lippy.
It's almost Valentine's Day. It's Super Bowl. You need a red lip for the Super Bowl, and then you need it for Valentine's Day. So
literally, everybody needs a cute lippy. Okay.
Yeah. So check out Pink Lip. Check out Pink Lips with our code KQ15.
So last week we were in the divisional round of, we were in the championship round of the
NFL. Yeah.
Where are we at? Oh my God. This year is flying
by. I know.
Last week was championship weekend in the NFL. And it was very spicy. You guys know that. So we had Commanders versus Eagles. We had Chiefs versus Bills. So we can just first kind of get into Eagles Commanders. So I went into that game thinking, like, for sure the Commanders are going to win. Like, and it could be just me being taking in the hype.
Okay.
Excited.
So I know both of us picked the Commanders last week. And while I wanted them to win, I wasn't sure they were going to win because
for sure.
It's the experience that really got them.
Well, and Jaden Daniels, rookie, the story is great. Seeing Terry McLaurin.
I was hoping so.
The first time head coach, first rookie quarterback, like. And right. You guys have seen the Eagles over the last few weeks. They have not looked the same, especially since Jalen had his concussion. And he's come back from his concussion and shown that he's just fine. But, I mean, I
think awesome.
Talk about how just great Saquon Barkley is, at 2 touchdowns in like the first quarter or something ridiculous. And so we had the TV on at our tailgate. So I was kind of in and out because I'm like, all right, we're taking shots to 3P.
That's hard. Yeah.
Every shot to 3P. 1, 2, 3, 3P. Like that was the vibe because we just wanted to piss off as
much. Absolutely.
We're better than you. That was the energy. But Saquon Barkley had an insane game. And yeah, he had 2 touchdowns in the first half.
He was, oh my God.
And I'm so angry because like I was putting in a ticket on Underdog, and as soon as like I was putting it in, he scored. And I was like, I guess I'll pick for 2.
Let me wait. Yeah.
But I didn't see the full game. Gonna be super transparent because I was having fun. But the fact that the Eagles even score 55 points, I was like,
I will say at the beginning, did you see the beginning? Like the Commanders started out with the ball and they
marched at 3 touchdowns for 120.
Yeah.
Beginning of the game,
Commanders marched down the field with purpose against their great defense and scored 7 points. And I was like,
yeah, Terry McLaurin.
Like, I think we got a game. Yeah, like, yeah. I think it was looking good. Eagles came back, and I think they just scored a field goal. So I was like, No,
that Saquon had the big
goal. That was Saquon. You're right. Then I think the next drive held him to a field goal.
Yeah.
Something like that. So it was like kind of close at first. So I was like, actually, I think this is going to be a really good game. The whole first half felt that way, even though Saquon was dominating. The Commanders, they just, I mean, their inexperience just showed the entire game. They had turnover after turnover. I think the nerves were getting to them.
Actually, I think that's incorrect.
What?
Commanders kicked a field goal first, then the Niners, God bless. Then the Eagles scored a touchdown.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay, that's why I was thinking that. Yeah. Okay. So it was the Commanders that kicked the field goal first, and then, And then Saquon, literally immediately on his, first touch, ran in for a crazy touchdown.
Yeah, it was, 48 yards or something insane.
Yeah, insane. I think, it was dumb. Commanders' run defense has struggled a little bit, so I'm not overly surprised that he kind of took over the game. And it just got out of hand, third quarter, fourth quarter. I mean, it just everything that didn't go, that couldn't go the Commanders' way didn't go their way. And everything that could have gone the Eagles' way did go their way. And there was guy on the Commanders, Frankie Luvu. Okay. The Eagles were trying to do a tush push at the goal line. I think it was in the fourth quarter, and Frankie Luvu just kept jumping offsides over and over and over again. And the Eagles were just what are you doing?
Yeah.
It was funny. But Commanders made it a game at first. You know, they tried. Still thoroughly impressed with Jaden Daniels in his rookie season. He looked still, even being that down, he looked so poised. He looked so prepared. And I think some of his team let him down. Dropping passes, turnovers. It was just
they've had drops throughout the whole entire season too. So it's you can't be surprised by what you see in a high pressure situation. Right. And I mean, to be fair, as much as I hate the Eagles, they've been to the Super Bowl in the last 3 years. They do have a championship mentality.
Know what they're doing, yeah.
Right. They've been together for way longer. Excuse me, as a system than the Commanders have. They're all pretty much newer in their role, which for them to even make it to the NFC Championship in their first year with a new head coach and a
crazy
new quarterback, that's nothing but if I was a Commanders fan, I would be so excited for the future.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
It's nothing but positivity because you know that they didn't think that they were going to make it this far. So,
It's absolutely nothing to hang your head on. It was such a good season for them.
Yeah. And I mean, when you just look at the box score, Jaden Daniels had one interception, and you already know, in games like this, which I know we'll talk about this in our game too, but one interception can make a make or break difference. I mean, you know that the Eagles are probably going to score a touchdown on that. But I mean, he threw the ball almost 50 times, which is insane. Which means they definitely went away from their running game. I could just see that based off of this. So for him to throw the ball 50 times, that's a little insane. Brian Robertson Jr. is somebody who, it's hard for me to say I think he's going to have a good game when I know that the Eagles have a great defense and they know how to stop the run. So seeing that he only had 36 yards, Jaden Daniel ran for almost 50 yards. You could tell that means that their pocket was probably collapsing fast. Their O-line was not protecting Jaden or anything like that to where he was panicking and running. Now, Zach Ertz cooked. He had 104 yards, which is crazy. And Terry McLaurin had 51. It does look like he was Miami Brown had 42 yards. So, I mean, Jaden was clearly spreading the ball.
He was targeted
16 times.
What? Zach Ertz?
Was targeted 16 times.
Wow. Okay.
Which tells me that the Eagles don't know how to protect tight ends. So that's but he was targeted 6 times.
Into that next week, though. But yeah.
Austin Eckler, he had 5. You can tell he's checking down to him. He only had 5 catches for 17 yards. So that was probably just quick check down.
It definitely was check downs. Yeah, it definitely was.
So, I mean, for the And I mean, I guess it's kind of tough though, right? Because this is also two teams that are in the NFC East and they play each other twice a year. Now, the Commanders did beat the Eagles once, but I think that was when Jalen got his concussion and went out in the first quarter. And then the Commanders won the game. And then the Eagles at first run the first match. So, I mean, they did split in the regular season. And it's really hard to beat a team twice. Like, it's really, especially in the same season. So,
very hard.
You know, hats off to the Commanders for getting it done. I know a lot of people were like, it should be the Rams or it should be whoever else. It should be the Lions. I mean, I think the Lions would have still lost to the Eagles.
Yeah. But. I mean, I tweeted this out earlier today. I think this has potential to be like an all-time Super Bowl. I think you have Saquon Barkley, who's on an absolute tear. I think you have Mahomes and Kelsey, who are legends of the game. You have Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo, whose minds are just diabolical. Andy's been with both teams, yeah. Jalen Hurts is the first quarterback to make it back to a Super Bowl after losing his first one since like Jim Kelly, which was like the 90s, early 90s. You have AJ Brown and Devontae Smith, who are phenomenal. You have both defenses who are really good. Both secondaries really good. The trenches on each side of the ball are insane. Eagles O-line is crazy. Chiefs O-line is fantastic. Chiefs
D-line. But I don't know how much different this Eagles team is from last time we played them.
It's not a lot different. Neither team is really, which is crazy. Like our receiver core.
That's their difference.
They have Saquon. Our receiver core is a lot different. So I feel like that's kind of your differences. They've added, I think their interior defensive line is really good, but then so is ours. I don't know. Yeah. Like it's, I think it's going to be a really, really good game. So.
Oh yeah. It's a really good game. Shout out to the Commanders. Good luck to them. I can't wait to see their next season. They come to Kansas City.
Yeah.
Next year. Yeah. So I will be there. I'm waiting for the Chiefs to text me in the next like 48 to 72 hours to tell me that I have to give them money for next season. Like I know it's coming. Because last year they made us give our first payment before the Super Bowl. And I was like, for real, I'm just trying to go to Vegas.
Dang. Yeah, I'm trying to go to the Super Bowl first. Dang.
I told my dude, I was like, I will pay you after the game. I'm not.
Yeah, no way.
Anyway, there's been more things that have been happening in the NFL. A lot of the head coaching vacancies are finally filling up. I think we like talked about some of the big ones last week, like Pete Carroll going to the Raiders and what's his name going to the Patriots?
Vrabel.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've kind of talked about those, but there's still one position that is still open and it, two. No, the one. Cowboys are embarrassing. They are very unserious.
Well, Cowboys took our namesake, Schottenheimer.
If you are listening, Cowboys fans, you're a very unserious organization. You're probably going to be at the bottom of your division next year, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the Saints are still trying.
Apparently, Dak Prescott is excited about it. So
let me tell you, as somebody who worked for them for seven seasons, that he
knows. I'm like, you know a lot more about them than I do.
You know how Jerry has his yes men out of his coaches? Yeah, he also has that out of his quarterback. So Dak is going to do anything and say anything that is very positive for the organization. And he's like the poster boy. And he has just all the – and Dak is, like, I mean, Walter Payton Man of the Year – comes from a great family. He has an incredible story, especially like with his mom having cancer and the way the Cowboys have done all these things for him. Like, I get it. He's a yes man. He's never going to say no to Jerry, especially if he's getting paid. And he's getting ready to have a second baby. So whatever Jerry says is right to him right now. So yeah, of course he's excited about it. Like, sure he is, right? So that's my hot take on Dakota, Rain Dakota. So they just feel they're they might be battling for the fourth place with the Giants. I'll just say.
Yeah.
But hilarious, though.
We play them next year, though, so that's going to be
in Dallas. I'll be there in Dallas. The Saints are the only team still that has an open head coaching position.
Yes.
Which it's
sounding like, I will dive into it a little bit.
Yeah. It's sounding like that's solely based off of like the GM and the owners, why nobody will actually commit to that team, which kind of gives like the Jags, right? The Jags were having that same issue. And then when they finally got rid of their GM, somebody decided to commit to them.
Yeah, pretty much. So I think what's interesting about the Saints having that open is they are interested in Kellen Moore, who is the Eagles' offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And they want to interview him when he's in town next week. And if did he deny it?
No, I'm thinking about Cliff.
Yes. If I were an Eagles fan and I heard that like Matt Nagy was taking a head coaching interview job while we were in town, I would not be happy.
Because he's with the Eagles.
He's with the Eagles. He's their offensive coordinator, and they want to interview him when he's in
not
town.
Radio Row. Now I'm gonna come interview. I'm supposed to be game planning on how to beat the Chiefs, and y'all know y'all not gonna beat the Chiefs. Kellen Moore ass is not beating the Chiefs.
He's not.
Have y'all seen Kellen Moore? He's not. Have you seen him when he was with the Cowboys?
But like,
that's
so disrespectful.
I'm not gonna be mad if Matt Nagy decides to interview.
No, but I honestly, I don't think it should be allowed by the league to happen. I think the Saints need to wait, and because it's literally a week. Like, you can wait till next week. You'll be
fine.
And what
are y'all in a rush for?
Nobody
wants to come there. Y'all have interviewed a ton of head coaches. And everybody said no.
Well, we just saw this happen with Ben Johnson from the Lions and Glenn with the Lions. Yeah. Both were doing a ton of head coaching interviews with the Jets and the Bears and all that. And the Lions fell apart in the divisional round.
And I trust Ben Johnson more than I trust
Kelly. As a Chiefs fan, I'm not mad about it. As a Chiefs fan, I'm like, okay, go for it. Go interview. Go do your thing.
That's a mess.
Please go be distracted.
The thing is, like, okay, well, what if y'all win the Super Bowl? You're not coming back to try to two-peat? You think you're going to get a Super Bowl with the Saints next year?
No.
And maybe it's because of all of whatever is happening in Philadelphia, because I mean, I briefly read something earlier about Jalen Hurts saying something like, he finally let me out of my
straight jacket.
He said it's Nick Sirianni finally let him out of his straight jacket, which is why he had the type of game that he had last week. And I'm like, what does that mean? Patrick Mahomes would never say that. So
never
translate what that means, because I don't know.
We know that
they've had issues.
Jalen and Sirianni have had their issues as head coach and quarterback.
Jalen and AJ Brown.
But to say that he was keeping you in a straitjacket is crazy.
Maybe that's just how they talk on the East Coast.
You know, maybe it's a Philly thing, and that's fine. And that's what Philly fans, I posted about it, and Philly fans came into my comments and said, no, it's not, it's a nothing thing. It's just the media egging them
it's
on.
Always I'm like, a nothing thing.
Yeah. But with Philly fans, it's always a nothing thing.
I do want to say, did you see Aaron Glenn's interview with the Jets the other day?
No, I did not.
It was so good. They were like, so is Aaron Rodgers going to be your coach next year? I mean, your quarterback next year? And he was like, we're in the evaluation process.
Yeah.
And they were like, so that means he won't be? He said, we're in the evaluation process. And then he looked at every reporter and said, don't ask me again. And I was like, oh. And then somebody says, so that somebody else asked like another question, rewording it based around Aaron Rodgers being there. He said, you try to get me and it's not going to happen. I said what I said. And I was like, I know that's right. Because if you're going to be in New York, New Jersey, you have to be around with those reporters.
The media? Like, I love that.
He used to play with the Jets, so he already knows like what type of time they on. And he's like, I'm going to say it one time, and I'm going to make it real clear. And hear me right. I was like, now he's talking to his kids. Okay. So, oh yeah, it was fantastic. And wow. I was like, okay, yep, I love it. But yeah, so.
Love it. Oh, that's going to be fun over there. They need, like, the Jets need someone to whip their asses into shape.
Yeah. And I would actually really like if Davante Adams did stay. Because I think Aaron Glenn could, like, you know, he gonna get that defense together. But I think he's not gonna be soft with the offense, and he gonna be like, listen. So
no, I can't wait to see what he does with them.
I also briefly read. I did a lot of brief reading in the last 48 hours because it's been busy. The enemy was talking with the Patriots.
No.
Yep. Hold on. Let me pull it up. I think it might have been for maybe consulting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I would love for him to get another opportunity somewhere.
Yes.
He deserves it. So I'm not mad at that.
Yeah. It was super quick. Veteran NFL OC Eric Bieniemy has spoken with multiple NFL teams, also interviewed for the Patriots OC job before it went to Josh McDaniels, which is dumb.
Okay.
But the belief was that he was a top candidate for New England. Wait, there's more. I'm not reading all that. There's more. But it sounds like that EB is interviewing right now for a few OC jobs. But to hear that he was interviewed, I can't believe they went with Josh Daniels. I mean, over Eric Bieniemy. That's
lame.
That's terrible. I mean, fine. Like, okay, fine.
Whatever.
Very unserious.
It's their pipeline. It's a Mike Vrabel move, you know. So
it very much is. So yeah, lots of head coaching jobs. Cowboys. Brian Schottenheimer went there as a head coach. Pete Carroll to the Raiders. Ben Johnson to the Bears. Aaron Glenn to the Jets. We kind of just talked about all of that. But yeah, lots of things happening. And again, the only job that's still open is the Saints job. And we'll see how that goes. But Kellen Moore will get ate alive there. So I wish him the best of luck if he does end up going there. So anything else that happened in the NFL that I missed?
You know, I don't think so.
I mean, the only which... Yeah, we're going to go ahead and go into this next. So we can go ahead and
talk about Chiefs. Yeah, we got to get into our stuff because I don't care about y'all that aren't in the Super Bowl. So,
yeah, y'all got a lot of drama.
Yeah.
So if you have not downloaded the Autograph app, you need to make sure that you download it, especially right now, just because every single podcast that you probably listen to is on there, especially from a Chiefs perspective. But every team is on there as well. You can check out low price tickets for MLB since that's getting ready to start, NBA, everything, not just football, not just Chiefs, since we have no more home games until next year. I cried about it at Arrowhead. But you can get on there and you can check out every other sports team, listen to their podcast, check out tickets. You can read stats and all kind of things like that through there. So make sure you download the Autograph app. You can download it on Apple Store or whatever Android users use.
Google Play Store.
Google Play Store. And use the promo code Kingdoms Queens. Download the app.
And earn fun rewards when you listen to our podcast through their app. So do it. Why not? Any of our other friends that have podcasts, you can listen to theirs too on that app.
We're literally all on there. Join the party.
Support your local people.
please. I'm kidding. So we got to recap this AFC Championship game, Chiefs versus Bills. And before I can even get into the game, talk about Florilla.
And talk about what?
Florilla. Florilla. How do you say that man's name?
I don't know.
Anyway, I don't know what is wrong with everybody. One, the fact that y'all are trying to create another rule. How many rules do y'all need to beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs? We already gave y'all the overtime rules. Y'all already say y'all want to put a chip in the football so you can make sure that the ball is exactly where it is because you don't trust any of the NFL referees' eyes. And now y'all want to create another rule because it ain't fair to Josh Allen, even though he had the ball with 3 minutes and 33 seconds left in the game. He had the ball at the six-minute mark, want to be very clear, and again at the three-minute mark. Because at the six-minute mark, I specifically stood in my seat and said, all right, Andy, you going to draw up a six-minute drive here? And then we went three and out, and then y'all got the ball back. And you only got 17 yards and didn't get to the half. I'm like, what do
– So can we reflect upon the first rule change we had for Josh Allen, which was a few years ago in the 13 seconds game, and everyone was so upset that poor Joshy didn't get his ball in overtime. He lost the coin toss, and he didn't get his ball in overtime, and the Chiefs won, and blah, blah, blah. Now we have to have – listen, okay, I want to say this. I'm not opposed to a rule change of putting a chip inside the ball. If that's what y'all want to do, go for it. If that's going to make you feel better, go for it.
Because if that's the case, we should have had a first down.
But, at some point, when does it become ridiculous in spite of Josh Allen that he's just not winning the game? And I understand he didn't turn the ball over. He almost had a few fumbles.
He damn near – he tried to give us the ball three times.
He tried to give us – actually, four times. Five – technically five. I just rewatched the game.
They fumbled and they recovered it. Imagine if we would have just gotten one of those recovered.
Yeah. If we would have gotten one of those. They fumbled it like three times.
Yeah.
Also, on their opening drive, Brian Cook should have had two picks. And Nazi Johnson should have had a pick.
Correct.
So, like – it's lucky for him that he didn't, but like
y'all got to stop coddling Josh Allen. He a grown ass man, and maybe he just ain't got the clutch gene.
No, and he was in his head the whole game, and you had plays to make that weren't made, and especially on your last drive. And honestly, even on his fourth and one, where everyone's crying that he was over and that would have changed the entire game. There was an entire quarter left when that happened. So you're telling me
literally
the Chiefs defense had been stopping them all game long. Who's to say if they got the fourth and one? Sure, fine, give it to them. Who's to say they don't go three and out on the next one?
Or you throw an interception or you have a fumble.
Like, what?
What are we doing here?
It's so minimal. It's so minimal, the stuff that people are critiquing. I mean, they literally... On our first drive of the third quarter, we went I think it was three and out, or maybe we we didn't go three and out. We actually had a decent drive going. We were on third down. Ed Oliver on the Bills D line jumped offside, got Caliendo to go, and they called it on Caliendo. And no one cared about that.
We got the ball after halftime where we should have scored and we didn't. We only went 33 yards for 5 minutes and they got the ball
back. What I'm saying, Ed Oliver on the Bills jumped off sides. It was very clear. And then Caliendo got called for it. Our guy got called for it. So, like,
yes,
refs make mistakes all the time. Like, that's my point.
Because I remember yelling, Andy, throw the challenge flag. I remember saying, throw the challenge flag because they showed it again on the Jumbotron at Arrowhead. But then, of course,
frustrates me.
That's playoff, so it didn't matter. Yeah.
These things happen. Like, it's not like some conspiracy that everyone wants it to be.
You know, I'm just very glad that my check cleared this week for the rest.
If, you know, okay, and if we had lost that game, no one would have cared about the game-changing plays that went their way. So that's all I want to say. Yeah. It's just a whole bunch of crybaby haters, but you know what? The Chiefs are going back to the Super Bowl, so ha, 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 ha.
I just really want Josh Allen to be better, and I really want them to stop trying to say that it's the coaching. I don't want the – I'm tired of them saying that they gave up on the ball. Because yeah. I'm like, first of all, James Cook went off, so that's not an excuse. He did his job.
You know that was like,
– he was and good.
And the final seconds, they went away from
him. And the thing is, yeah. is our whole entire middle of the field was getting torched the whole entire game. Mac Hollins and Khalil Shakir, like, were going. Mac Hollins was going crazy on us in the middle of the field. So it's like, why did you get away from that game plan? Because they, right. it happened in the first half of the game and the second half of the game. We were getting torched completely. So it's
twice.
Like,
twice by Mac Hollins.
That's your, fault. That's your yeah. fault. So, I mean, I don't, there's a lot of things there, especially from like, now I get it. Like, they did have a safety out in this game, which. Sure, whatever. I don't think that's really an excuse because we had a receiver out and we had a corner out, so it doesn't really matter to me about them not being 100% healthy, because to me, I think they were. I don't like that.
They were like mostly healthy. I mean,
what was his name who went into the game and then went out almost immediately for the Bills on their defense?
Benford.
Like, first of all, he shouldn't have been playing anyway. Y'all rushed him back. So that's terrible.
He literally.
I don't even want to say coaching. I think that's like an organization thing. Like,
that's horrible.
He's and y'all forced him.
He had a bad concussion versus the Ravens just last week.
It took y'all, a hard hit and went out.
They did a weird thing with him this week in practice where they said he was limited, and then did not practice Friday due to personal reasons. And that was enough. That was enough for them to be able to play him. When you're in concussion protocol, you're supposed to have one full practice before you play. He didn't Correct. Have that, and no. they skated the rules, and then within the first few minutes, they were screwed.
He was out of the game.
And he was literally concussed again. And he literally, Jody, when he went off the field in the cart, he was seatbelted, and his eyes looked asleep.
Well, yeah, because he was probably knocked out. He shouldn't have been playing. And that tells you about the coaching staff. That tells you about like everybody there. Because for one, that lets me know that you game plan this week with him playing the full entire game. So you don't get to be mad when your defense.
Kyrie Elam is horrible.
Exactly. And you don't get to be mad that your defense got torched when you guys did not game plan correctly. And I feel like if anybody was really, like, injured to that capacity on our team, there's no way they're letting you play. Like, Mecole Hardman swears that he's 100% healthy, and Andy Reid put his ass on the IR for the rest of the year. So even if you feel like you're healthy and you're fine and you can do the minimal things, no, we're not going to put you in harm's way.
Right.
When we need you next season. Like, no, we're not going to do that.
Absolutely
so that was very wild to me, but just watching Josh Allen just kind of go through like this process. I was listening to something earlier and I actually like cackled a little bit because they were talking about how, like, for one, I mean, like Greg Rousseau was saying how the Chiefs had all of these plays that he had never seen before, and that he was like, I've watched all of their game film and there were two plays that I had never seen.
Like,
well, yeah, like, hey, we've been telling y'all that Andy Reid has a secret playbook, but at the same time, I also want to talk about how we knew that this was going to be like the most viewed game and that we continue to keep paying the bills of the NFL. And yeah, 57.4 million viewers checked out this AFC. Shout out to the Chiefs, but
hilarious. Like, of course we're gonna have something new for you on the championship game. What do you?
Right, and even if Andy Reid didn't have a secret playbook, you think that for the last week and a half he ain't been drawing up plays, sitting back with Pat, sitting back with Trav, sitting down talking to Spags. Even Spags did some things that we had never seen. Like, Spags is a creative genius, and it's a little insane. Like, Nazi Johnson started this game, and a lot of people were upset about that, but he was good again in the AFC divisional round last week. And it's like, you have to play your people based on the team that you're playing, right? So in my mind, I was like, well, maybe we do see a little more Joshua Williams this week, and we didn't. So I was surprised by that. But I mean, he was definitely holding his own, even to the fact where he almost had an interception. What are you about to say?
Oh, nothing. I'm laughing at a comment in the comments.
Oh, and so then we had, sorry. I'm like, so yes.
Sorry, I got, no, my mind is like, wait.
Not only does Andy Reid have this creative mind to be able to prepare for any game, you're going to see that from Spags as well, too. So, yeah. And they both put on a freaking masterclass this week. Like,
unbelievable.
The offense was good from start to finish. There was not one thing that I had a single complaint about in this game, and usually I can pick apart how I feel, but the defense was incredible. I mean, especially to the fact to where there should have been at least 5 turnovers and there wasn't. I'm like, get down on the ball, y'all. Like, where are y'all? Like, y'all are so freaking close to getting
one. Like, that is going to be what they're kicking themselves over this week, and they are going to absolutely capitalize on those things in the Super Bowl.
Now, I will say I am happy because we did have at least 1-2 sacks, and in the last 2 games, we hadn't sacked Josh Allen at all.
So no, we couldn't even get pressure. So I think
shout out to Mike Danahan and Tershawn Wharton, because
God dang,
the last 2 games, nothing.
Tershawn Wharton has made a name for himself this year. Mike Dana went off that game. I will say, Steve Spagnuolo, please don't put Mike Dana in coverage again, because we had him in coverage like twice.
We did it with Drew Tranquil, and we were like,
no.
Can you now you're trying to be cute.
Yeah, you're trying to be cute, but we don't need that. He was like Andy Reid with Mike Dana in coverage. Like, that was like a cutesy, like, let's see if this works type thing.
Now, I will say, everybody has been giving Shamari Connor hell this season. He led with 9 total tackles. him and Drew Tranquil, actually, to be specific.
Drew was all over the place, for one. He was great.
I mean, George Karloftis, Chris Jones, that freaking line, Charles Omenihue, they were all really good in this game.
Chamari's been very, like, roller coaster for me this season. Like, he'll have a great game, and then he'll be, like, cooked. And you're just like, okay. But we have very high expectations for this defense, and rightfully so, as we should. But I think
Justin Reid. Go ahead.
Wait, what?
I was going to say something about Justin Reid, but go ahead.
I was literally about to go there, too. He kind of went off.
Yeah, he had a game. Justin Reid was good this game.
Yeah, he's been well in these playoffs.
Looks like he's trying to put some film out there so he could go get a contract.
As he should. as he should.
He was actually really good this game.
Yeah, I'm not mad about it. He did well. I think, like, actually, who I'm really excited about for the Super Bowl is Jaden Hicks.
He started this week.
Yo, yeah, he was flying around out there. Like,
he was. Now I will say this. There were certain times where the secondary was getting torched, and he was one of the ones getting torched, especially when the middle of the field was being wide open. So I don't know if that was a matter of Spags creating a blitz, which means you're losing a guy, which means it's creating more
space.
But, like, that was the one thing I continued to yell about the whole entire game. I was like, Spags, you gotta adjust. Like, what is happening right here? Because there were multiple times where we almost got them off the field on third down or fourth down because we knew that they were going to go for fourth down a lot more this week, and they did. And they were able to convert, especially when they were like in a third and long or a fourth and long. Like, they went for a fourth and five, and I was like, for real? And they got a first down. So it's like some things like, and it was to Mac Hollins both times. So it was like in those type of situations, I was like, what are we doing, Spags? Like, what are we doing?
Mac Hollins tricking us was very, I don't know.
Yeah.
Especially definitely. Against Trent McDuffie, kind of struggled with him. And I was like, I don't know why you're struggling with him right now. The one was like right before half. So I think maybe Trent's effort was a little lackluster on that play. That was a touchdown he got burnt on. But I don't know. Overall, I think our secondary did as well as they could. We knew the Bills are a good offense. They're going to bring everything they can against you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Let's get into the offense. So, I mean, our offense was good. They were cooking.
I love that we got Hollywood Brown involved in the first two pass catches were to Hollywood.
Yeah.
Love that. Like, finally, we get to see what he can do. And I just love that we started the game that way because the Bills hadn't seen that yet. And that was
exciting. They hadn't seen him. I think, like, I'm most, and I know we're going to talk about, like, our player of the game, but, like, I am most excited for Xavier Worthy. He went into this game with spite. Like, he went into this game knowing that y'all didn't pick me, y'all went over me, y'all went and got somebody. That Keon Coleman, y'all didn't get me, y'all took Keon Coleman. I'm going to torch y'all in this game, and that's exactly what he did. He had 85 yards this week. Technically,
I thought
he hit 100. Yeah, he hit 100. I'm sorry. Because I do like when they use him as a running back. Like, it kind of catches me off guard a little bit. But he did have 16 yards as a running back, which is so funny. Mm-hmm. But Xavier Worthy and Hollywood Brown had a freaking day. Juju Smith-Schuster. Like,
oh, my God.
He continues to be clutch in those moments. Now, I will say this.
Patrick trusts him so much. What?
Is Juju the new Justin Watson?
Maybe. Kind of.
We didn't see him at all. We are used to seeing Justin Watson be clutch at least once a game for a 20-yard catch.
I haven't seen Justin Watson since Christmas.
We ain't seen him. But Juju went 2 for 16.
Now, Justin Watson went off on Christmas Day against the Steelers, but
Juju went 2 for 60.
He was phenomenal. Like, just right over the middle, right, just open field, way, like, room to run. Oh, now, I Patrick just trust him. Like, it's
I was genuinely confused on why we didn't see Noah Gray at all. He hurt?
Yeah. No.
He had no targets. He has 0 targets.
It's been weird, right? Because, like, we got him so involved
throughout the season, especially
throughout the season. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then during the playoffs, it's like, I don't even know where he's gone.
Maybe they're saving him for the Super Bowl. But yeah, everybody got involved. So
we didn't really need him at the same time. He was good at blocking, he was good at his assignments. Like, he didn't mess up anything. He was great at blocking, great at run blocking, great at getting Patrick into the end zone. I think we just dialed up different things. Patrick scored twice on the ground.
How many snaps did he have this game? I haven't seen the snap count.
Well, let me see.
I will say, I think that last week did prove our point that Travis Kelce was going to be a decoy this week.
Yeah.
Him going for 117 last
that
week
was.
Made sense for him only having 19 yards this week because you cannot not – you have to – put two bodies on Travis Kelce, and by them having to put two bodies on him, that left open your Xavier Worthy, that left open your Juju and your Hollywood Brown.
Right.
So thank you, Travis Kelce, for being that guy and doing your job and being able to not have to put your body through all of the abuse this week, even though he was still out there like taking hits and being a blocker and all of that. So shout out to Travis Kelce for doing what.
God, where's that at? There it is. Snap count. This is
what I need to see one for this week.
Tripped me up a little bit. DeAndre Hopkins only had 12 snaps.
I mean,
is he hurting more than we know?
I don't think DeAndre Hopkins is hurt at all.
Well, he has a torn MCL that he came in on to our team with.
Yeah, but his very first game with us, he had way more targets than we thought he was going to have.
I'm like, I thought we were going to get him way more involved. Because
in my mind, if D-Hop is hurt, D-Hop won't play. They will sit him.
I don't know.
I 100% think that. I think if DeAndre Hopkins is really hurt.
Noah Gray had 29 snaps for 44%.
Oh, so that means he was definitely just out there being a blocker. Creating all
Juju actually had 38 snaps. Juju and Kareem had the same amount, 38.
Well, Juju and Noah and Travis and P-Ron are going to be your guys that are going to be able to be the blockers to help us be able to get a good run, especially on the left side of the line since we have... Juju's
such a good blocker. I would not mind bringing him back again if we could.
That's why I asked you, is Juju the new Justin Watson? That is why I asked.
Honestly.
Because
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I am too. I'm totally fine with that. So, I mean, Patrick Mahomes clutch. I think it's important to talk about how great of a game that he had and how good he has been.
Oh my gosh.
He has been since week 11.
Unbelievable.
Josh Allen had 2 rushing touchdowns last week. Patrick was like, hold my beer. And definitely had 2 rushing touchdowns this week. I think this is his first time ever in his career that he's had 2 rushing touchdowns in a game. So to see Patrick kind of go off the way that he did was incredible. He played very clean football. Again, no interceptions, no fumbles, nothing like that. He's going to take care of the ball.
Well, there was one fumble.
But it wasn't.
Yeah.
Oh, it was him giving the ball.
True. Yeah.
But I think that I'm putting that more on the running back than on Patrick.
Yeah.
Oh. 1 second. Talk. I have to walk away for a second.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, Patrick Mahomes had a phenomenal game. We are so, so lucky to have him as our quarterback. He had 2 rushing touchdowns, which was fantastic on its own. And one was a designed run play, which we don't ever see for Mahomes.
Yeah, he had two.
Well, the first, I'm not convinced the first one was designed for him, but the second one absolutely was. I mean, they completely, if you watch the formation, like the way it's set up, Travis is the lead blocker to get him into the end zone, which is just, I just love it so much. Those two are going to do whatever they need to get in the end zone. And like the first one, I think he was looking for someone to throw it to, and then he realized he had an open lane and just ran it in. But the second one was definitely a designed run. Mm-hmm. And the formation on it was just so – I mean, chef's kiss, Andy Reid, Matt Nagy. It was just phenomenal. The way they faked everyone out, and almost everyone went to the left, and he goes to the right and runs in. However, I have to say, Patrick Mahomes – cannot spike a football, okay? Not allowed to do that anymore. You cannot spike a football.
I don't think I actually realized like that was happening until I seen the clip after I left Arrowhead.
I was so excited in the moment. I didn't realize until after
oh my God.
He apologized. Yeah. He's like,
you're embarrassing me.
Yeah. Sorry.
Want to go ahead and talk about
something. Wait. You want to do what?
I was going to talk about the special teams and how special Nico Remigio is.
Wait, real quick, did you realize that DJ Humphries was in on a few special teams plays?
No, but good.
Yeah, I was like, oh. I saw him on a few field goal tries. I was like, oh, or on the extra point tries. I was like, interesting.
No, but that's good. And I don't know if that's a matter of trying to warm him up, but I do think it's important that you keep him at least like in some type of game shape. Because we don't know.
He had 4 snaps.
Well, that's good because we don't know. You don't know what can happen during a football game. Tooney, Caliendo, something can happen.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody can lose the game.
Yeah.
Or Juwan Taylor, who everybody else needs to respect. So, like, there's a lot of people. Juwan Taylor had another good game, another clean game. That's 2 games in a row for him. And I know that I get him a peck for always creating a penalty offsides, but he has been solid. these last few games. And Caliendo and Joe Tooney, I mean, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And that's clearly what we're seeing right now. And if it's going to keep us continuing to win games week after week, then I'm totally fine with it. I know people are nervous about it because the run game has been a little, but I think that Andy is
I think it improved this week, but I do think Philadelphia is better in those trenches. And so next week when we talk about certain matchups, I want to talk about that. But we'll get into that next week.
Well, and Patrick has 43 yards this week, which is not normal for him. He doesn't run the ball that much. So to see him do that, I was like, okay, Pat, like that is the definition of playoff Pat. I'm going to save my legs for the end of the year when I need to. I'm not going to be running the ball for 40 and 50 yards through the regular season because I want to play football for another 10 years. But Nico
they're over the regular season. I hate to say it.
But I need them to stop being over it because I pay a lot of money to go to games.
So. I do too, but did you see, I think Travis in his press conference this past week before the game, he was like, he said something like, oh yeah, finally when it was November, I was like, okay, we're getting closer to meaningful football. I was just kind of, you know, riding. And I'm just like, I could tell you weren't really in it in September, October.
He's also on like season
12.
He's like, all right, y'all. All right. Like,
I was so excited when November got here and we get to play some meaningful football finally. I was like, oh my God.
So, again, I do want to talk about Nico for being good and being very special, especially in these last
Oh my gosh. Years.
I think that he has kind of solidified a roster spot for himself for next year. I think he's going to be on this 53-man roster next year because he has been incredible. He had over 100. This week on kick return solely. Just imagine if he just has one, he's so close to getting it. Like the last two games have shown how close he is to, like, every week is something different. So I mean, who knows? He's gonna be very impactful for us in the Super Bowl this week. And I'm just like so proud to see like his development and what he's been and how he's really just kind of put himself in this type of position. So I'm very happy with the results of this game. I don't really have too much more to say about it. I think my biggest takeaway is Josh Allen said, to be the champs, you got to beat the champs. Well, you
didn't do that.
You're a loser. So,
and he said we didn't do it. I will say what I respect about the Bills this week in their postgame stuff is they didn't blame the refs. They didn't say, oh, we left it in the refs' hands.
They see how we embarrassed the Texans last week.
And they also know better than to do that. They've been here before. They've been in these games. They know,
I don't know,
four times in a row, you can't blame the refs four times in a row. Like, you just
this
can't.
This is also the same team that got a rule change.
They get a lot of rule changes, and they'll get another one, like our friend Alt here just said. But, yeah. I don't know. It's special teams have been phenomenal. Matt Araiza was fantastic. Harrison Butker has not missed a kick.
I think he's like 11-11 in the postseason.
But which is crazy because we've all wanted to see Nico Remigio since training camp, because you can tell when a player is special, and you can tell that what he possesses is very special. And coaches, I'm so glad. Really,
if we've learned nothing about Andy Reid and Spags, they stick with their guys. They stick with their guys.
Like, they do. Absolutely.
They brought Miko back instead of elevating Nico.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're definitely going to stick with their guys.
They did, but then they kept Nico on, and I don't know how hurt Miko is or isn't. Yeah.
They brought Juju back. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're pretty sick with their guys, which I'm not mad at. It just makes me feel like, you know what? Maybe Nico is now one of the guys. Maybe he's now
I think
one
he
of
is.
The guys.
Well, he's been right. Dave Tobe has been pining for him since like training camp. So.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I remember that.
Yeah. For sure. So I'm like, there is something to it. It's just roster spots. It's tough. I mean, it's really tough. Yeah, and we needed McColl as a receiver too for a while. So like, because our offense has been through so with injuries and all these different things, and we're finally getting to see what this offense can be, and that's what I think is really, really exciting. And you're seeing the potential. Xavier Worthy had to step up so early and was just thrown into the fire because we lost Rushie and Hollywood in preseason. We lost Rushie in week three or four, whatever it was, week four. And so Worthy, I mean, bless his heart, and he has the best attitude. He like never complains. He is so excited to be on this team with Patrick Mahomes. I know Bills fans are like, oh, why does he have a chip on his shoulder then? People have chips on their shoulders about whatever they want. They're professional athletes. They're in the NFL, the highest level. He's on the best team in the NFL. Like, he can have a chip on his shoulder for whatever he wants.
I'm reading this. Somebody just sent me a tweet about
what's it say?
It's a post from the Bills community. Somebody posted in there 8 hours ago. It says, I'm going to read this very fast.
Okay.
The number one thing is too much advantage. Kansas City had too much time to rest and heal. I know this is obnoxious. Oh, I know this is obvious, but Bills were hampered by the game by the previous week. No rap and Benford. And this is what it says. No rap and Benford was skating on thin ice. The first half, we looked like we were fatigued. Like we were in concrete shoes, which resulted in being outplayed. I'm not reading the rest of this because this is making me angry. We were a better team, and 2 weeks would have worked. 2 weeks worth of rest would have been huge. The consequence of losing those regular season games bit us in the butt. Maybe the NFL should grant two bye weeks to two teams. KC's gotten a easier path, and I don't like it.
I mean, they used to, right?
Let's only talk about us playing in December and playing three games in 10 days while y'all were playing one game
Y'all finished your season with the Patriots, the Jets, and the Patriots. That's like literally three bye weeks right there. That's like three bye weeks.
How about don't lose four games or however many damn games y'all lost four this games. Season?
I will say, if we reverted back to the old rules, right, the top two teams did get a bye week. So okay, but that's not the rules.
And it's not my fault. Y'all shouldn't have added another team to the playoffs. Y'all shouldn't have added another game to the regular season. Roger Goodell, don't call me. Don't be mad at our coach because he learns and understands the rules and knows how to rotate his guys and knows how to keep his guys young, which is the reason why we can play all these games and not feel fatigued and look a hot mess. Maybe you shouldn't have 74-year-old Von Miller. Maybe you shouldn't have 30-year-old Josh Allen. I don't know what you want me to say.
These are the same people complaining that we rested our starters in week 18.
We sure did. And we'll do it again next week. I mean, next year.
Like,
Patrick Mahomes told y'all in February we were getting a one seed.
There's a method to the Chiefs' madness. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
11 months to prepare. He told you in February, don't lose games.
He did.
Maybe y'all should have lost to us in week 11. I don't know what you want.
Well, they beat us.
Well, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know what else you want from us. Like,
I don't know.
We got a harder schedule.
You got to win more games and you got to go with the current.
The Ravens and the Bengals. Sorry.
You have to go with the current rules. Sorry, we don't make those.
Anyway, get into
it. Believe me, if I could make rules, it would be a blast, but I can't. So.
Right. We'd be playing in May if it was up to me. Get into your offensive player of the game and your offensive player.
Goodness. Offensive player of the game. I'm going to let you have who I think you want. So.
Ooh.
Well, I'm going to. Okay. I could go a few ways with this.
Go with who you want to go with.
I'm going to give it to Juju Smith-Schuster. That's who I'm going to give it to.
Clutch.
We had two huge clutch plays for us that were drive changers. And not only did he have those, but he is a phenomenal blocker. He is blocking for everyone, especially in the red zone. especially on, like, I mean, this dude does whatever is asked of him. He has the best attitude. He comes in so excited to be here. He was on a losing Patriots team, and he's just totally revived once again back on the Chiefs. He speaks to how highly this organization is run, how well it's run. Like, he just has nothing but good things to say. And then on top of that, he's been phenomenal. Like, he kind of didn't do a lot the last few weeks of the regular season, but these last two games he's been great. And then this game, two huge catches for 60 yards. He's a great yak guy, yards after catch guy. Just awesome. Just really, really clutch when we needed him. Yeah, that's my guy.
Xavier Worthy.
Yep.
That's where I'm going.
That's my other one.
Xavier Worthy. I could not be more proud of our rookie. So I'm not really going to, like, go into it because y'all seen him. Y'all seen him have to take on a bigger role. Y'all seen him have drops. Y'all seen him learn how to have to be – learn his footing and realize where he is on the field. You've seen him turn up tremendously and have a great uptick in the last, like, few weeks of football. He felt disrespected and he went crazy. So Xavier Worthy is definitely my offensive player of the game. And I just can't wait to see what the rest of his career looks like for us. Who's your defensive player of the game?
This was a tough one for me because there was a lot of, like, there's a lot of guys that made a lot of things happen, but nothing, it wasn't like, oh, it's this one guy, right?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to give it to an underrated guy, and that's Mike Dana. He is, like, an unsung hero of this defense, this defensive line. He's always doing the dirty work. He's always out there working hard. And he was able to get Josh Allen on the ground, which is a tall task. And he actually forced a fumble, which Josh Allen was able to recover himself. But Mike Dana was all over the place. So that's my guy this week. He was fantastic and deserves a shout out. So thank you, Mike Dana.
I think I'm going to stay with the rookies, Jaden Hicks. He has also had to kind of step up in his safety role, and he has just been really good. Like, I still can't get past him in the Steelers game. He was so freaking cool. I can't get past him there, but he, to be able to play in your first, like, divisional championship round game and knowing, like, how leaky the secondary has been all season long, and they finally look like they're clicking and kind of getting, like, what Spags has been putting down. To be able to pick up Spags' playbook and to be productive week after week.
Yeah.
Especially with, like, Brian Cook battling injuries, Justin Reed battling injuries, Shamari Connor, the whole safety room has been really up and down. So for him to have to step in into that role and be, like, what he has been, like, I'm super proud of him. And I know, like, he's going to be great, especially in the Super Bowl too. So. Shout out to the rookies.
His confidence is building like crazy. And same with Worthy, too. Both of them, like, their confidence is like, oh, man, they're really good.
Through the roof. Well, let's go ahead and get into this underdog promo and then I guess all of our promos and get out of here.
Yeah.
Shout out to Underdog Fantasy. Hey, Missouri. Oh, you can read. You can totally read, and I'll do the next two.
I don't have it pulled up unless you do.
Shout out to Underdog Fantasy. And if you are in Missouri, you can definitely download the Underdog Fantasy app. Bet 5 will give you 50 as our current promo. Last week, they gave you a free pick with Patrick Mahomes, 0.5 rushing yards. He had 43, so you definitely went green on that. And there are so many other things that you can pick on right now. So you can actually, you could do NBA and NFL at the same time. You could do NFL and, I mean, you could do WNBA and NBA at the same time. So you don't have to just pick specifically to whatever type of game that you're watching. You just have to pick at least a minimum of two people from two different teams. And then there's been a ton of promos over the last week too, like a 50% boost, a 30% boost, and so many things that can help make your odds just quadruple. And you have the option to even do flex too, so you don't have to necessarily do head on picks. You could do flex picks. And then if only two or three out of the five or six that you pick, you still have the opportunity to cash out. So download the Underdog Fantasy app. Make sure you use promo code Kingdoms Queens. We're going to be with them all year long. So we're going to tell you all this every single week. Download the app, Kingdoms Queens promo, Kingdoms Queens promo code, and bet five and get 50 from us. Like, why would you not do that?
And it's so much fun to use. It's so user-friendly. So we have a blast doing it. We will absolutely give Super Bowl picks next weekend. Be on the lookout for that.
Shout out to Homage. Go to Homage's website. They have a certain promotion right now where if you purchase, you will get your gear before the Super Bowl. So homage.com. Make sure you check them out ASAP. I feel like I'm missing somebody. Work. So we love Boulevard Brewery. Shout out to Kansas City and shout out to Boulevard.
Mine is hydrated with their quirks every week.
Gone already, and this is crazy. I drank the whole one today.
No, like my lip prints on my cans.
Mine's on my straw. I don't normally drink a whole one.
I need a straw. Yeah. They're so good though, and they're just easy to drink, refreshing. Local to Kansas City, so check them out.
Yes. So if you have not, they are running some certain, they have like certain gift sets and things like that for the Super Bowl this next week, which is actually kind of cool. So if you have not went onto their website, go onto their website or go into their location downtown by Union Station and check them out because they have all kind of great stuff too. So shout out to Boulevard Brewery and Quirk and all of the delicious, amazing things that you guys have. If you did not know, me and Lexi were featured in the Kansas City Star last Friday. Y'all should know because y'all watched us take pictures last Tuesday. And that was hilarious. But the article is now out in the Kansas City Star. So if you guys want to go read it, retweet it, support it, thank you in advance. But yeah, we were in the Kansas City Star last week and we were on Fox 4 last week too. So lots of, we've been everywhere. So
this
week for us. Shout very out good. To the Chiefs for being amazing because the better they are, the better we are. Next week starts Super Bowl coverage down in New Orleans. Monday will be introductions.
Yeah, so they leave on Sunday. They'll get their Sunday, and then Monday will be like, I think opening night where they go out on the stage and both teams go out.
Monday's opening.
Yeah.
And then it's me too, all week long.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
So, yes.
This is my favorite week of the year, y'all. This is our favorite week of the year. We have a Super Bowl routine. I mean,
third year in a row. Holy.
Super Bowl week is the most exciting week of the year for the NFL.
Holy moly.
I can't believe Chiefs versus Eagles once again. Apparently, Nick Sirianni has said to the media that this is a revenge game, and he kept notes after we lost the last one, and he can't wait to face us again, which I'm not surprised because we saw him after he left. Yeah.
That should be the energy that he
has. It could, and it's going to be a phenomenal game.
Y'all got embarrassed, and we're going to cook y'all. So
we're going to cook you again, but.
I am not worried at all about this. I was more worried about the Bills than the Eagles.
Right.
We'll get into that next week.
But yeah, next week will be our big preview of the game and our key matchups and all that good stuff. So we can't wait to get into that with you guys next week.
So with that being said, make sure you like, follow, subscribe to us on all social media platforms. Check us out on Twitter. If you are in here currently listening, shout out to the almost 1,600 people who are in here right now. If you're on YouTube, I need you to please go like the episode. I tell y'all this every week. Scroll down on the thing. Hit the like button. Please comment what you thought about the episode today. But we're going to give y'all about a minute to go like this episode real quick because we know it's a lot of y'all in here listening and commenting and interacting with us. So shout out to y'all.
Give us a little heart.
We super appreciate y'all. And a lot of people did not realize that we were on Instagram. Yes, we're on Instagram. So you can follow us on Instagram as well. Go follow us there. You can comment. We've been posting content like all week long. It has been crazy. So go on to our Instagram. And of course, make sure you're following both of us on Twitter, including Kingdom Queens. And
we'll go crazy with the content next week too. So
it's gonna be a whole lot of fun. And shout out to the person who won our giveaway last week. We gave away
a homage giveaway through homage.
If you're following us on Twitter, then you know that. If you're not following us on Twitter, then you should probably go follow us on Twitter so you can know when we have promos and giveaways.
Absolutely.
Y'all have a great week. It's starting to finally unthaw in Kansas City. It was a beautiful day today. The sun was a beautiful day. The sun stayed out a little bit longer. We're getting closer. So you champions have an amazing night, and we will see you on Tuesday.
Love y'all. Bye.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.